morning, 7:05 a.m. on Sunday, August the 30th, 2020. Yeah. It's a beautiful clear morning, Mike. Got to walk his dog. Dog scraping along the ground, looking for the right place to drop the load. It's a cute little dog. Cute little dog. Anyway, so yeah, Sunday morning. It's a lovely, lovely, lovely morning. Official ambient is 55. It was 56 when I got up. Outside my back door, it was 56 when I got up at 6 o'clock, about an hour ago. And it's already come up a couple of degrees. It was 60 when I left, at about 6:45 or so. 6:40. Tomorrow I have to get up and move early, because I have to start walking at 6:30 tomorrow morning. I have an alarm set. Because tomorrow I have a guest. Yes. I'm so excited about this. I'm insanely excited. So I made my 2,000 words yesterday. I got the manuscript off to Podium. Today is trial by CIFWA day. We have a Zoom meeting starting at 10 o'clock local, 9 a.m. East Pacific, to do strategic planning. I think that's all I can say, other than it's supposed to last until 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Did I say tomorrow night? 6 o'clock tonight. So, it's going to be a long day. I suspect it will be a frustrating day. I'm going to try to go back and get at least a few words in before. Things get rolling. It's a beautiful morning now. Oh, here she comes. The lady with the little Scotty dog. She's wearing a jacket. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
You have a good day.
You too. Yesterday was this was a pretty productive day, and I've been talking for the last couple of days about Richard Bach's book. Good morning. And I get to the end, and it's like, okay, book two is out already. And I went to click on it, and I saw it was $9.99. And I'm like, what the hell? Are you crazy, Rachel? What the hell? And then I looked and realized that this is a TradPub book. I don't know how I managed to get a hold of it without realizing. I think I just saw her name and know she self-publishes her fantasy. I just assumed, I guessed it. She must be publishing her other stuff. And I picked it up off from, I don't know, I had to have picked it up on sale. I had to pick it up from something like a BookBub or something. Because I sure as hell didn't pay $9.99 for her book. I mean, it was good. It was. I remember thinking when I was talking about it yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, but I remember thinking, it's like, okay, this is pretty formulaic. This is pretty, you know, hitting the beats all at the right place. I check things like that against how far along are we in the story. It's like, There's a high point or a low point right at the halfway mark. There's a shift at 25%, and there's another shift at 75%. Every time. And it's like, it's not like 20% or 80%. It's 25%. It's 75%, it's 50%. The beats are right on the mark. They're right on the formula. So the stories tend to have a sort of mechanical feel to them. The skeletons are obvious. And the story is the flesh on the bones. And it was a good story. I enjoyed it. It was a very trad pub, gun porn heavy military science fiction. And, you know, I'm there for that. I'm good with that. They're fun stories. So it really was I enjoyed it a great deal. I'm not going to say it's a great book, but I enjoyed it a great deal. Interesting. There's a murder of about a dozen crows sitting on the peak of the retirement home over there. Get ready, sit with me. Monk post. The assisted living space that they're still building. It's a huge building. It's a huge edifice. But as much as I would have loved to have read the second book, it's like, I feel like I got tricked into reading the first one. If I had seen, in fact, that the book was published by Orbit, I would have passed it when it came by. So I'm not exactly sure how it managed to come by, but it did. So, between that and the $9.99 for the second volume of the series, it's like, you know, I liked it, but there are 200 books waiting for me that are self-pub, that are equally good, and don't support problematic business. Sorry, Rachel. Had an interesting conversation about trad pubs with a group of other authors about not wanting to read trad pub books. And some of them actually are working in the trad pub space. And there's part of me that says, you know, asks the question, Am I missing a bet? Am I missing an opportunity? Am I missing out on leveraging their author abuse for my own purposes? And there's so many things wrong with that. When I say it out loud like that, there's so much wrong with it. Like, I am very aware that their practices up and down the scale are exploitative. That they really I'm not going to say consciously, well, yes, consciously. They just don't see it as exploitative. The things that they do are, on their face, exploitative. But the rationale is, well, this is how it has to work. The answer is no. No, it's not. But you're not open to other ideas. So this is the way you're going to work it. I said over and over again, it's like, let me have Hachette for a year. Let me have Random House for a year. The whole company, not just like a book there, but the company. And let's see what we can actually do as a traditionally published, as a traditional publisher, to actually come up with a model that treats authors and creatives fairly. I don't want them to go out of business. I want them to stop exploiting authors. There's a middle ground there. It's like if we have to exploit authors in order to make a profit, there is a problem. The problem has to do with the cover price. The cover has to do with the valuation of the work. What's the value of the work? Well, I can sell this book for $19.99. That's the value of the work. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's the myth. That's the linchpin. That's the difficulty. We can reach an audience. No, you can't. That's the myth. It used to be that was the only way to reach an audience. But you still weren't reaching the audience. You were only reaching part of an audience. You were only serving a fraction of the readers. You were only appealing to a certain subset of readers. Bookstores are not readers. Bookstores have a problem. They've been made obsolete. Physical bookstores, brick and mortar bookstores. They have been made obsolete. Well, yes, but discoverability. Bullshit. Pardon my French, but bullshit. Discoverability is electability. It's like, let's I have to be careful. But it's bullshit. Discoverability, bookstores as a tool for discoverability is bullshit. Yes, yes, okay. For the people who read a book a year, who go into a bookstore once a year when their one book is done. Sure, fine, okay. Random House is not making bank on the people reading one book a year. Even at $19.99 for the hardcover. Yes, there are book snobs who will only read in hardcover, fine. You go wank in a corner. Have a good time. Rub your fingers over the pages. Smell the delicious ink. Terrific. But just don't tell me the book is great. Because you're not reading the book. You're there for the experience. And I got, you know, I'm good with that. You want to do it for the experience, do it for the experience. But then don't come back to me and talk to me about quality of the story. Don't come back to me and tell me about how much you love the story because the ink smelled good. Or that the pages had a very delightful texture and your fingers across the paper made the right sound. And then tell me how good the book was. That's bullshit. I need to be calming down, not getting all ramped up. Because I'm going to sit down with 8 other people whose perception of the book business is Random Penguin House, Hachette, Macmillan, Simon & Schuster, St. Cloud. That's the book industry. Anyway, deep breath. It's 7:25. I have 2.5 hours. I could theoretically get my words in by then. Let's see how well I do. At the moment, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is a very exciting day. And with any luck at all, we'll talk to you then.